Welcome to Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. We're the podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss LGBTQ plus history. Yes. If you're listening to this podcast, I'd encourage you just to take a quick moment to hit the subscribe button so that you can hear future episodes. And also, I would encourage you to visit our website at letstalkaboutgaystuff.com. Take a little follow on Facebook and Instagram at Let's Talk About Gay Stuff. And if you're on X, formerly known as Twitter, you can follow us at Talk Gay Stuff. Also, hey, if you're going to push those 5 stars, why don't you leave us a review, okay? And tell us what you think about us, because, you know, feedback is a gift.
At first, I thought you were going to say, if you're listening to the podcast, I want you to take a minute and pour yourself a glass of wine.
Oh, do that.
Come join us. So people are normally, like, listening to us on their way to or from work. So
If you're on their way to work,
that pour yourself some wine.
Yeah.
You're ready for a good time.
To the
well,
point,
Friday,
baby.
Oh,
well,
it's coming out on Sunday. So it'll be the worst for me.
This is the Lord's Day.
Really does.
Let us proclaim the Lord has made.
Let us speak.
Speaking of the Lord, you don't go to church.
Oh,
have you seen Wiccan?
You don't like
God.
No.
Oh, well, then you don't.
You don't believe in God.
You don't
like God.
You don't believe in God.
I bet you don't like puppies either. Doggies for puppies, you know.
Little baby puppies.
Well, hey, if you do like puppies and you're not like Chris and you actually like dogs, why don't you give your dog some baked bones? Show them some love with Baked Bones dog treats. These aren't just any treats. They are specially baked bones. They have CBD, which is great because CBD has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety in both humans and dogs. Thankfully, Baked Bones has your dog covered with delicious treats that your dog will surely love. Made from organic, human-grade ingredients and full-spectrum hemp oil, their bones may offer some relief to your anxious pup. You can check out BakedBones.com for more information on CBD for dogs and other benefits it may provide. Baked Bones offers free shipping on all orders over $25, and you can save 15% using the promo code GAYSTUFF15. That's right, GAYSTUFF15. Baked Bones is LGBTQ plus owned and operated and is based in Houston, Texas. Baked Bones offers 10% of all its profits to no-kill shelters in the U.S. Baked Bones, baked dogs happy.
Whoa.
Meow.
Oh, meowing now.
Oh, so do we want to talk about last episode? I think we started talking about Chris's sexual escapades.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
So who do you know?
Hey, well,
do you know the Muffin Man?
Well, I have a question.
Because I do, and baby, he is buttered up. Anyways.
Oh, I forgot to say what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk I'm going to talk about Kate Brown, a governor, and we're also going to talk about, I didn't do the production notes.
Troye Sivan.
There we go. Troye Sivan.
We're also going to talk about.
Yeah, fill in the blank. Yes, and beer. If you want to
improv,
yeah,
that's showbiz, baby.
Yeah, that's showbiz, mama. Hey.
Oh,
a lot of people liked our share commentary a few episodes back.
I'm telling you.
So
she's only. You better watch out, Mariah Carey. She's coming for you.
Oh yes, because we're in November. Mariah Carey.
She is defrosted. She's declared.
Can I tell you? Yes, on Instagram. Can I tell you that woman, for being the diva that she is, actually kind of cracked me up because she posted several videos on
well, you know, she does that every year. That's the thing now is they're like, what is her Instagram video going to be for to usher in the Christmas season?
And which one was it this year that she
this
did,
year is
the
one
witch?
Where there was a no that was last year
oh,
this
no,
year
gosh.
Was that a vault opens up and she's frozen in a block of ice.
I did see that.
And there's these guys with pumpkin heads on,
mm-hmm,
with a blow dryer, and
mm-hmm,
then it
a
like
blow what?
It explodes,
and
with
it explodes,
a high pitch, you know.
Yeah, with her
whistle,
and
whistle.
It explodes, and she's in her red outfit, and they're all suddenly these hot hunky elves, and she says, "It's time."
It's
I love it. That's exactly.
Was that what it was?
It's very funny, but I'd never seen any of them, and I saw the witch one as well, where she's you know,
that was good.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
I think she's a brilliant. I mean,
I think it's funny, I think that she's taken on the memes of everyone, like, oh,
yeah,
she's defrosting,
yeah. She pokes fun at it. I love it. I think it's great.
Is she going to be taken over?
But she's being taken over by Cher, supposedly?
I don't think so. I think Cher aspires to be a different level of Christmas.
Okay, so tell us about that.
Well, they're all, either it's, you,
So she got a new album.
I mean, you said it earlier. Like, I thought we were done. No,
we haven't said anything. We said her name. Thanks. Bye.
Like, we're literally like spoon feeding him to go back to his shopping. He's like, no, Mariah Carey is the
first ever.
This is not a Mariah Carey. It's Carey.
Whoa. I got distracted because I got excited for the video.
All right, let's get back on track.
Back on chair.
Segue.
Her first
chair.
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 She has her first ever Christmas album. I think it's fabulous. All original songs.
She's
so
been
now,
around in the biz since the 60s?
Six to 67 decades.
Okay.
Didn't we just have this conversation?
No. I found it. I did some research.
Oh.
I did research.
But look at this. You're a podcast doing research.
No, she's in her seventh decade of music making, but she's had number
hits.
Ones in six consecutive decades through the tens. So we'll see, though. I mean, she's probably going to get number one of the
Christmas. We still got the 20s.
We haven't done her as a topic, have we?
We haven't done Cher?
No.
No!
Oh my god, that was excellent.
Beat it!
Well, we're going to have to. Chris, you're going to have to do it.
Me? I feel like that's something for the old.
That is definitely not a whippersnapper. Although, Christmas album...
The
young,
to get the youth
now the Gen Zs are talking about it.
Right?
Yes, but it's like, why is
it like this is auto-tune Christmas?
It's like,
hey.
Hey.
Well, have you heard any of the, is the album out?
I don't think it's out.
He kept on sending me weird shorts of it. And I'm like,
I can't help it.
Jingle bells.
Literally.
Share.
Literally it.
Share.
Yeah, it was.
Does she have any collabs? What's the deal?
Oh,
I'm going to know.
I don't know.
I don't if it's.
I, you know, I'm
yes,
excited.
Yes, it is out.
Okay.
I need to listen. But see, I haven't been listening to it because it's, I don't listen to Christmas music until November.
No,
so I've listened to it on my home.
Hey, guess what? We're in November.
I know, but.
So we made it 2 days into November and you're still just blue balling us right now. Blue balling us?
So
blue balling us?
What? Excuse me?
Well, what? It's cold weather now. Your shorts are short enough. It's cold weather now.
We've done the research, and the public doesn't want to hear about your sexual escapades.
Right? Did they really? They're like, it's too much.
Really? Because I was enthralled with the last episode what's that thing? The vibe check.
The vibe check.
Oh,
that was two. That was two episodes.
Two episodes.
God, and that I just apparently did not pass the vibe check with that one. So,
well, you know, you live, you learn.
Mm. Did I learn anything?
No.
No.
Well, what else are you up to? Any more boys you met?
Any men?
Men?
I did.
Yeah,
that's
because it's
go weird. On a date on Friday, and it was a very nice day. I took him to my favorite sushi restaurant. Which also, why would I decide that I should do that?
Raw sushi.
That's
on
a very very bold choice.
On
it was
first
a raw
day,
sushi.
No, it was all cooked.
Oh, because you liked it raw. Were you? It was in sin.
Raw dogging.
You were kind of like
okay. So without any. Innuendos, we did share a raw log together.
I thought they were called rolls.
Rolls, yeah, sorry. Not a log of raw.
And did he like it?
Yes, he liked it raw.
For the straight people, the raw log is
sushi.
No protection. Oh, sorry.
What? What are we talking about?
Bareback.
We actually had sushi. And then
we had.
Is that where we're going?
No. Then
a
we,
twisted roll.
A twist, yeah. Then we went
and then
to,
you had a crab roll.
Yeah. Then we went to JR's and had a couple beverages.
Okay.
And then we made out a ton on top of my car.
Like the hood or the roof?
Well, like in front of my car, but then like I was pushed up onto the car a couple times.
Okay.
And then we made out a lot in my car.
Oh.
And
just like
and
on
then,
the side of the street or
yeah,
the,
well, it was in the gay neighborhood.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
So, you know, it was just, you know, gays walking around. It was also like the start of Halloween weekend. It was that Friday night.
Oh,
so it was
man.
Like, you know, everyone just wandering around doing
half
gay
naked
stuff.
And making out.
Yeah, exactly. But it was also early. Like, so, like, we weren't all quite half naked and making out, just us.
And the sun came up and he had to walk back to the cemetery because
yeah,
he's a ghost.
Oh, yeah, correct. And he didn't hear from him again, so he must be back to
because he's dead. He's a ghoul.
Yeah. Aww. I did hear from him a little bit on Saturday and Sunday, and then like the text just became more
and now he's
sporadic, and so I was like, you know what, I'm just not gonna keep putting effort into it.
Now he's Dia de los Muertos.
He's day of the bitch.
You think
dead.
It was the sushi?
Oh.
No, I took him to a good sushi restaurant.
Yeah,
so fuck that.
Sushi on a first date. That's just very bold.
But okay, I is also
it?
Was like
Why?
Really
I think
so
because
sushi, so.
Well, sushi it's one of those meals where like it's raw, and it's there's all the different choices, and it's one of those.
What's the problem with it being raw?
It's just it's very polarizing.
Oh,
people are never
he wanted
just like
sushi.
People,
I didn't take
okay,
him.
Well, there you go. You could have left that. Sushi is a polarizing. It's not like somebody's like, meh, sushi. It's either people love it or hate it. Nobody's just like, it's okay.
Well, I hate sushi. Could you imagine? Anyways, the whole point of the story was to say that he was taller than me and also had very large arms.
Okay.
And I kind of wanted him to crush my skull in those arms. But, you know, it's fine. Other than that.
Did
was,
you meet him at the gym?
No, it was definitely Grindr.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, all day from crying.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think he wanted to as some might say it, and not to be too like risque on this podcast, but he wanted to pound the shit out of me.
Okay.
Is that too vulgar?
But you said, no,
but,
ma'am,
but
not on the first date.
No, we like
I'm
actually,
a lady.
We actually like started to have conversation, and I was like, hey, like,
that
would you want to get
well.
Dinner? Yeah. No. I said, would you want to get dinner instead of... fucking
wait, you had sushi and then you wanted
you
to go eat again
choice?
No, we went on
so you met up
we never met up we talked on Grindr
and then but well you met obviously because
we then we met up and had
and
sushi
so,
but we didn't fuck.
He came what did he come over did he come over for the sushi
he never,
or
he
the,
never came over my house
hole?
We met at sushi
oh
and no donut holes were exchanged
but then you drove to the bar together and then you made out
yes
okay.
Wait, why are we confused?
Well, because
we both met at sushi.
You
we then
said
both
that it
then
was
drove.
Going to start off as not sushi.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But
he
then
the
you
bone.
Said, "You said, meh, I'd rather have sushi."
Uh huh.
Okay.
Wait, what's the question?
It's choices. You,
I don't mind sushi as a first date sort of thing because it's light, and if you do want to get frisky later, you
but
know,
I don't
you're
think
not, you're not sitting
sushi
heavy.
I feel like the sushi. It's
you're
it's
never gonna get. Spicy. You're never gonna get drunk at sushi. Like it's not never, but it's not like going out to sushi. You're not gonna get drunk. You go out for margaritas, like Tex-Mex, and you're gonna get drunk with some margaritas.
And you're gonna shit your pants.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Could be a not great ending to you know
what's
a night of romances. But yeah. I
so
don't
what?
Know.
Where did the decision go from hooking up to let's get some sushi instead
on Grindr? See, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he cares about sushi anymore. I think he's upset about the fact that I chose having dinner
well,
and
I'm
sushi
well, I'm
instead
in
of having
how that conversation arises on it. It's not like you were on like sushifinder.com.
No, we were exchanging nudes on Grindr and then
and
we started
like,
having conversations
you know,
about
this
things.
Makes me think about
he saw your
sushi.
Body and he was like, sushi.
I need to go for some sushi. He's pale. No. Fish is pale.
Yeah.
Let's eat.
And he's going to look like a raw piece of fish. Absolutely not.
I'd like to roll that.
You're a bitch.
Well, like, but that's what I'm saying. How do you get along from it? We're going to fuck. You know what? Instead.
I don't know. Do you want to go read all my messages? Don't.
Let's
You're
play
back.
Let's play Mahjong. You know where you can play Mahjong?
Oh.
Sushi. Can you play Mahjong and sushi?
I think that's too
difficult. Yeah, that's. You were the one who said it.
Well, it was supposed to be my easy segue. But now that I've said segue, which apparently I'm not allowed to do, it's not going to be so easy.
Well, no, here we are.
we'll have to explain it to anywho. My segue
I always
was
love
for
that there's like a lull. Like
my segue was for the gay games.
Oh
yeah, tell us about that.
See?
And you're not talking about Grindr anymore, right?
Well, I didn't know if you wanted
no, the competition. They grind the competition
we
at gay
still
games.
Definitely talk about your.
Bow. I wonder how Grindr. Do they have like an Olympic Village? No,
I
go on.
Know
I
they
wonder,
do.
Oh yeah, that's sort of, like I bet they're all fucking. Anyways, continue.
No more than
well,
they do at the Christian conservative conference.
Or the regular
Olympics. They're
Olympics.
All fucking each
that's
other.
That's all they
Olympics.
Do.
Oh, yeah.
They're all hot.
Everybody's
and
all
like horny
yeah.
and young. And hot. Did I say hot?
So the gay games is being co-hosted by Hong Kong.
Hello.
As Asia's first gay games. They're co-hosting it with Guadalajara. Sushi mix. I don't know. I'm not. It's a thing.
Do they leave Hong Kong to then go to Guadalajara at
know.
Some point?
I don't know. All I know is that they're co-hosting it. And
hey, don't erase the bi-coastals.
There you go. When I
those
saw
are in two different countries.
Bi-coastal
well, they're
erasure.
Two different continents, really.
you know, if one was to say that they were in two different continents.
Well, they could be in two different countries and be on the same continent.
One might say that they're in two different continents. But could one say that? Yes.
I'm confused. Did I just get insulted?
Hong Kong Gay Games.
Anyway, Hong Kong is co-hosting the Gay Games, and I never heard of this. But there's the reason I brought up Mahjong is because that is one of the events.
Okay, maybe I'm just not that butch. What is
it's the where you got the little tiles and the pictures on?
There's literally no physical part of that at all.
Well, it's probably all mental. You probably still have to train. You got to have good pincher fingers.
What did you call them?
Pincher fingers.
Pinch your fingers. That's a good. Index finger. That's good. So that's the highlight of Gay Games. They have all the sports though. Yes.
Yes, and so they have other sports like soccer and all those things. Yeah. I know, like sporty sports. But then they also have
sporty sports.
Dodgeball. I think dodgeball would be fabulous to watch on a competitive level. I've never seen it on like. That's one of those things that you see on, like, ESPN4, right?
But are they naked?
ESPN 8, the Ocho.
I'm going to say probably not.
Oh. Well, sorry, guys.
I just thought it was interesting.
You know,
but it's a good question.
It's big news because it's in Hong Kong, which does not recognize same-sex marriage and has no laws against the discrimination of crimes against homosexuality. So for them, so it's okay. So if you were to go gay bashing... It's I.
They'd be like, okay.
They'd be like, okay. So it's big for them to host such an event where it's so large, where it's focused solely on something that the government has said, no, no, no.
No, no.
So I thought it was interesting.
Well, I mean, I found that interesting as well. I have heard of people who have gone to gay games. There was one in Paris. Was it before COVID? I don't remember. But there were like... runners who went to run. There was a gay on Twitter that
sorry, that went to run. So it was just funny for me.
Well, what else are they gonna do?
Sure.
Did play sports? No.
Anywho.
No.
But there was one that went to play tennis. A gay on the Twitter sphere who went to go do tennis things. So I just find that interesting that they are now in Hong Kong. But co-hosting with...
I didn't read all that part. But I just thought it was even because... Also, the thing is...
I didn't read all that.
I didn't read about the
honesty.
Well, because they...
He just boasted it. Oh, yeah, I did my research.
I didn't read about the Guadalajara part.
Yeah.
I read the parts that dealt with the gay things because of Hong Kong and because... It's set to, like, you know, stereotypically you wouldn't think of a bunch of gay people playing sports like that. So it's a big deal.
You know, gay people can also be gay. I mean,
can they?
Gay people be gay.
Gay's been a gay.
Quote that. There you go. Speaking of gay, I was with the Greater Houston LGBT Chamber of Commerce. They were celebrating LGBT History Month in October, which we talked about in our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to kick that session off, that little celebration, where I got to talk a little bit about LGBTQ+ history because, you know, as it was described, it runs in my veins. And I'm like, you know, after doing however many 160 episodes of this podcast, I'd say, yeah, there's some gay history in my veins. But I got to this was part of a panel. I was kicking off the panel of two folks that were very much involved in Lawrence v. Texas, which was the sodomy laws were overturned because of their work in the Supreme Court ruling back in 2003. So Mitchell Kitane, and who was the lawyer who helped John Lawrence and Tyrone, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Garner, there we go. They were the two that got arrested for practicing sodomy, even though they weren't actually practicing. Anyways, so Lane Lewis was a bartender at and we talked about this case in an early episode of our podcast. But Lane Lewis was a bartender at a gay bar here in the Houston area, because this case originated out of Houston. And he's the one who got John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner to say, you guys, you need to let's, we've been waiting for this type of case where you're getting arrested for no reason, and we need to find you a lawyer. And so Lane found Mitchell Catane, the lawyer, and yeah, and then the rest is, as they say,
history.
Gay history. Gay history. But it's American history, too, because, I mean, it's like civil rights.
It was like landmark gays.
Yeah, so it was cool to see that. Like, I was just kind of like, oh, wow, this is a moment. Like, these guys, like, we're able to do what we do. Because this was the first time you could be out as gay people, right? And then talk about it, you know, as roguely and disgustingly as you do, Chris.
Oh, my God, Dusty.
But we couldn't talk about that before because otherwise you could get arrested, yeah, right? So I'm like, so now, thanks to those guys, we get to be gay. And I was quoted as saying, yay, gay sex. And so I'm like, well, that's going to be forever. Like, that'll be
my... Wait, that you were literally quoted with saying that?
Well, because I did say it.
That's a great quote for
a headstone.
Yeah.
An epitaph.
How I want to die.
That's the name of this memoir.
Hmm. In the year of the Barbie movie?
In the year of the party. But yeah, so that was cool. It was a little bit of gay history. And I was like, hey, that's fun. You know, gay history. Well, I'm not famous. They're famous.
But you also said yay gay sex.
So. Yeah, I did. And
so that's going to be forever.
You know what?
That's in the Constitution now.
Actually,
Ellen.
That's right. That's not true.
That's not true.
Yes. What is true is the truth that's coming out of Britney Spears.
Oh. Okay. The truth reveals all, baby.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
So, her book came out.
Does she?
Uh-huh. It came out on the 24th. It has already sold over 1 million copies.
Oh, best-selling author.
That is a week. Right? It's a different month, so I can't just add 7. So it's a little over a week. So in its first week, it sold over 1 million copies.
Don't you teach me?
Don't you teach me?
Oh, but not a lapse time.
Was that a quote? Because I should have said that because we do teach last time.
So we need to do.
Anyhow. So I listened to it and bought it because I heard, at first I wasn't going to listen to it.
She does not.
And I was very disappointed I wasn't going to do it.
Who does the?
Michelle Williams. And let me tell you.
How do you know the answer to his questions?
It's
ESPN or something?
When you're over the age of 40, there's
you
a
guys,
certain vibe.
We are. Start whispering in a different frequency.
Oh, you've got a birthday coming up.
I do. I'm going to be more 50. Over 40. Oh, man.
Someone today at work said that to me. We were talking to the 50 plus, and I'm like, hey. And then another coworker said, are you the same age as them? And I was like, you might not have a job tomorrow.
You're asking the wrong person.
I'm still quite a little bit young.
I'm not.
I'm on the lower end.
Yes.
Of the 40s.
I'm fully in my mid 40s.
No.
That's the lowest lower end of the 40s you can be before rounding up.
Oh. 40 is the lowest end of the 40s. Yes. Literally, it starts at the 40s.
No, you said you were at the lower, the
end
higher
the
end. Higher
no,
end
I said
the lower.
I'm still in the low end of the 40s.
Still, okay, but the way you said it. So I was like 44 is the last year before you have to start rounding
up. Are you the same age as Britney Jean?
No, I'm a little bit older because she was born in 1981. So she is a little bit younger. But so she does not, she does read the little... intro, prologue, or whatever. And so she did say that it was too, writing it was too emotional, and she, you know, going through that process of so she didn't want to read it because it was, because I was a little bummed because I was looking forward to hearing it. But Michelle Williams does a pretty good job of sounding pretty close to Britney. So, and plus when I saw on the TikToks, I'm sure you have, maybe not you because you're on
conspiracy theory TikTok.
Excuse me.
That was a conspiracy theory.
I have a new one.
Oh,
that hurts. Where she does a good job impersonating Britney, impersonating Justin Timberlake, speaking, African American slang in the early 2000s. It was hilarious. But Michelle Williams does a fabulous job. She needs to win like a Grammy or an Emmy or something for it. But it's a very good book. It's very good. It's exactly what you think and hope and dream it would be.
Wait, so what? Was Christina Aguilera mentioned?
Yes.
What was the
deal? But not in a bad thing. She mentions her because they were on Mickey Mouse Club together. And then she mentions her as a like peer, you know, during that time, and how she appeared on a cover of Rolling Stone or something with Justin Timberlake and those things. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't talk. She does a really good job, but she's not bitchy at all. Mm-hmm. She, except for about her family. One of the best things she says about her family is that she said, "I have made peace with my family," and by that I mean I never want to talk to them again, and I'm at peace with that.
Yeah.
Because some of the stuff is what you know, but you get it from her perspective, and it's just wonderful. I love it. She talks about her growing up and how like abusive and that was, and you can kind of see like how they're going to take over her life, and then obviously all of her early time, and then looking back, because this was my generation. I remember listening to the first Britney Spears CD in high school.
And how was that for you?
And it was fabulous.
Back in the 20s?
It was on reel to reel. I had to carry around a person just to turn the gramophone in the car mm-hmm. with me.
That was good. That's how music needs to be listened to.
But it's very good. She talks a lot about it, and it ends probably at like earlier this year. Is when it does.
Okay. And so she's freed at this point.
Yeah. So the only thing that it doesn't cover is that, you know, she and her latest husband have split as of last month.
Right.
But they're still married in the book. So, I mean, she talks about it, and she does address it, and she owns, like, her crazy face, she says, but she, you know, attributes it to, like, postpartum and being taken, you know, like, some things that, like, it's just neat to...
Well, she basically had her whole life and her children taken away.
Yeah, and she talks about how, like, her dad wouldn't let her have certain foods. Mm-hmm. You know, she couldn't eat. She didn't drink alcohol for 13 years. She couldn't, you know, drink coffee. They wouldn't let her do anything.
Wouldn't drink coffee?
Yeah, that she couldn't have anything. He dictated everything. And, like, she couldn't even. Toward the end, she's, like, talking about how nice it was to be when she, the first thing she recorded was the remix of Hold Me Closer with Elton John. And how good it was to record where there wasn't somebody else that was in charge telling her when to do and things. And so, because she remembered back when, you know, she was young whippersnapper and calling the shots of the tours and saying, let's go. And it was good. I cried a little. I laughed a little. It was good.
You cried every single bit.
Britney Spears giving us the drama.
It was. Well, and about Justin Timberlake, that's the good thing.
Yeah.
About how he, you know... didn't force her, but encouraged her and to have an abortion, and all how that went down, and then just how he basically it's as shady as it gets is with him is because his whole album and Cry Me a River was written and it, you know, made him look like the victim at that point, and she was not, and he was not,
right?
And he broke up with her via text. While she was filming a video.
On the T9?
Uh-huh.
Wow. You didn't even get like an emoji then. Mm-hmm. It was just a...
And then
you could do the colon in the parentheses though.
Mm. That's like winky face.
Mm-hmm. So like, I'm breaking up with you, winky face, sad face?
Wait, mm-hmm. So he broke up with her. Like they had...
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a dick move.
He
I mean,
broke up with her after 3 years via text. And then he came over and gave her a framed like letter that he wrote that she says she still has.
3 years, had an abortion...
And he broke up like to send a text, yeah. But she said she could feel it coming because just, like, he was, you know, having her around was not in the vibe of his new album and obviously with the songs he had been writing, so.
Oh.
So it was just, so then. Very good. 5-star. Love it.
Iconic.
Mm-hmm.
No, we love the two.
I love Britney. She was it's very good. So it's going to be, it's a big thing. It's one of the largest, it was $15 million, I think, she got.
Whoa.
It was like one of the largest advances for publishing ever.
Okay. Well, because people wanted to know what was going on after all this time.
And so it's not as juicy probably as most people wanted because she doesn't talk shit about Christina. She doesn't talk about, but I mean.
But she had other things to focus on.
Exactly. And I think that shows true. She probably didn't really think all those things most of mm-hmm. the time. She probably, because honestly, she was way more and still is way more.
Well, also the late 90s and early 2000s were so taken mm-hmm. over by tabloids and what every celebrity was doing uh-huh. and
well,
the
that's what
paparazzi
said. Yeah.
was in everyone's fucking business. And nowadays we have reality television because that became a thing in mm-hmm. the late 2010s where we got to start seeing people videotape people's lives for real. So then we have the Real Housewives and we have the Kardashians where it's like, okay, we see all these messes on television.
Yeah, she talks
so
about
so we
that.
Don't need to know all the shit that's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you have social media. So
that's what, yeah, she said, yeah. She touches on that stuff too about how it would be totally different if, you know, she acknowledges how like that era in time is very different for that because, you know, now you can't do anything. Because she talked about when she would go out and party with Paris Hilton and then she's like, we were just, she's like, it wasn't as crazy as it seems, but because nobody was there, you get, you know, a couple of paparazzi shots and they can write whatever they want.
They literally could be like, oh, she's out doing, you know, crazy cocaine and staying out all night, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, I was in bed by midnight.
Yeah, that's what she said. She's like, that was the first time she'd gone out after having her sons.
But then, of course, they were like,
back
here, the kids.
She was back home by like 10:30, 11. Mm-hmm. And she got drunk, she said, but that's all we did. And then I went back home. And she said, and her mom even told her, go out. You need to go have fun. Don't let your kids see, you know, come back late and you'll go to bed and wake up in the morning, you know. But then it turns into she's out being a bad mom because she's out partying. And
wow.
So it makes you think about, like, yeah, like, because there was no other, you know, that's what they wanted. They got what they wanted from her. So.
And now with social media, they can if they want to. The celebrities control their own narrative. But she is on, I mean... Little Brit on. Is she still on social media?
She's
still
on,
dancing.
She's
on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the latest thing is the knives thing. She does talk about it in the book. She says she realizes she gets a little weird, and she also acknowledges the fact that she realizes she can come off as like weirdly sexualized and kind of like babyish. She's like, they tried to keep me a 17-year-old for so long. She's like, they sexualized me when I was 16, but then they didn't want me to grow up, but then they didn't want me to be too little, you know. So she acknowledges the fact that, she, you know, her behavior is a little weird, but that's just because
I think
she's learning how to be
Michael Jackson was a similar sort of thing.
But we've also talked about that before where it was like she was forced into this bubble. And it was also a conversation that we about why gays, like, align themselves with Britney as well, is because for so long our love lives, for instance, were put on hold because we never got to experience those little crushes when we were in third or fourth grade. Instead, our crushes, we couldn't interact with each other until we were in our 20s or 30s or 40s. And so it's like sometimes we act stupid around each other because we are acting like literal grade school children. Anyways.
I mean, but Britney's still doing her thing.
She is.
Still got her great book and Instagram. There's a show that my husband is watching, a drag show called Drag Duel. Think about, like, people doing drag during the pandemic. Like, they all recorded it. So they try to do, like, this RuPaul drag race sort of thing. But there's no production to it. Everyone's doing their own production. Ooh, so imagine us all being contestants on the show, but we're recording it in our own houses. And then so we're doing our own, like, video footage. We're dressing ourselves. And then we're also doing our cutaways in terms of, like, the confessionals. So it's like the show was made in the pandemic. But there was one lip sync battle the other night, and they were doing it to Britney Spears. And one of the contestants did Britney as she does her little dances these days. So was doing all the dances and then brought out the knives. And I was laughing. And now I feel like, and I was like, felt inappropriate for laughing because it was like, oh, poor Britney. But if she's acknowledging it and owning it, then you know what?
She acknowledges. She says, she's like, I realize I'm a little weird. She's like, I like trying on clothes and spin around dancing. She's like, that's what I like to do. She basically says, I'm weird. I like doing that stuff. I'm having fun. I'm fine, you know. This is me.
All right.
I love it.
Angela Bassett, do your thing.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Other drag show that's on is Dracula. Uh-huh. You Dracula. All watching that?
I have not started the new season.
Season 5 just started on Halloween night was when it was released.
This is scary drag, like alt drag.
Yeah. It's alternative drag. Anyone can participate in it as well, which is very different than RuPaul only allowing feminine presenting individuals to participate. So Dragula is also really geared towards, like you said, alternative drag, and it's supposed to be the idea that, you know, there's scary challenges, right? Not everyone on the show is always scary all the time, but there is still that element that they are pushed to do scarier kind of drag and do alternative drag altogether. And there are plenty of challenges that they've done where they have to look halfway, I don't want to say pretty, but, you know, decent. And so You can't just always also come in just doing ugly, scary, gross drag. So it's a very versatile kind of situation. But Houston's own, one of my favorite drag queens here in Houston, Blackberry is a contestant on the show. And we've all met Blackberry. We've all enjoyed Blackberry. Blackberry as a host is phenomenal. Amazing. She makes you feel so welcome in every show. And she is also, she has a brain that remembers everyone, like somehow. And if she doesn't remember you, she will pretend the fuck out of remembering you because she will make you feel like, oh my God, it's so good to see you again. Thank you so much for being here again. Like, she is just such a kind-hearted human being. She's also a bearded drag queen. She calls herself the bearded beauty of Texas. And so she is just a wonderful individual. So I'm very excited to see her on...
they're giving her an interesting edit on the
Have you already watched it?
Yeah, Spencer. He was mad that we couldn't watch it on Halloween because we were trick-or-treating, which is fine. It was fun. So we watched it the next day. And yeah, she's getting an interesting edit in terms of, you know, you say very nice girl. Like, I mean... Not that she...
Well, she is also a bitch that doesn't stand down to people, so...
Like I said, it's nothing bad. It's just like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting.
Especially knowing her, it's like, interesting.
Yeah.
It's
okay. That's excited. Maybe we'll watch this weekend. We'll binge. Or binge, just one episode.
Speaking of bitch, new Speaker of the House.
I know.
After, like, five different tries, Mike Johnson. Y'all heard of him?
Mike Cock.
Mike Cock. That's a drag Mr. king
Johnson.
On Dracula. No, he is the new Speaker of the House, and like I don't know, it's making headlines, but I'm like, isn't this all or most of the Republicans in the House these days? He is not very friendly to the LGBTQ, the LGBTQ plus community. He says, you know, he loves all people regardless of their lifestyle choices.
And once again, saying lifestyle choices already says enough.
Right.
So,
But people are like, well, okay, you say that, and you use the word lifestyle choices, but you also are quoted as blaming the fall of Rome. apparently, his words on not only on the deprivation of society and loss of morals, but on rampant homosexuality.
Oh, not the rampant homosexuality. Yeah. I hate when my sexuality ramps up.
Hello. He was also, you enjoy it while you can, because when you get on the other side of your 40s, I'm just saying, maybe not so much ramp up as ramp down. This is brought to you by Viagra. But he was also an advisor, a legal advisor to Exodus International, which offered and promoted conversion therapy.
Oh, that was a bad time for a joke.
Yeah.
And
his wife is involved with conversion therapy too, right?
Yeah, conversion. Okay, she had to take her website down.
It's very.
It was hilarious.
Well, and she wasn't there when he got sworn in as Speaker of the House.
That was weird. Well, she was.
Go ahead.
She was tired of being on her knees. He said that. I'm like. Seriously, somebody against the gays is going to say my wife was so tired because she has spent so much time on her knees.
He did say praying to God, but.
Well, yeah. No. Whoever wrote that speech is A, gay, or B, is not a fan of his.
Or both.
Or both. I mean, why would you say she was on her knees, even if you said she was praying?
Become a Republican intern just so I can
be on your knees.
Praying.
Get on your knees. Go down and make it happen. There we go. We knew the words were there.
Yeah,
sorry, Mom.
We're all working together.
There we go.
We're shopping.
I feel there's definitely something.
Yes.
It's all improv.
I could see something fun coming.
Showbiz
next year.
Well, there's a little bit of stir. You know, our favorite former co-host, Kendall, there's always a conspiracy movement, and he's like...
Oh, he's on your TikTok.
Is he the one who's sharing me those TikToks?
Yeah, always revealing conspiracies. And he says that, because this man, the speaker, has adopted a teenage son, he's like, y'all sniff around that. So I don't know what that is.
Of a different ethnic group.
Yeah.
To lift him up out of that poverty lifestyle. He's shocking him.
He's abusing. He's
fucking him. Well, I don't know. It's just a very, very interesting.
Knowing the creepy white conservatives, they are.
I don't know. Like, I hope the kid's okay. Like, I don't know. But yeah. But on the other end of the spectrum, after the unfortunate passing of Dianne Feinstein, Senator of California, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, appointed LaFonza Butler to the
That's
Senate
a drag name.
In California. No, not a drag queen, but the first openly gay person to represent California in the Senate, a black lesbian.
Yay!
Come on, LaFonza.
Thank you, LaFonza.
Yeah, so, you know.
Serving your country proudly, you know what I'm saying, with pride.
With pride. So I think her term, like, she's going to serve out Feinstein's term through the end of next year. I don't think she's running for re-election, but we'll enjoy her while she can.
I mean, hey, you never know.
Hey, smoke if you got him.
Mm-hmm.
What?
What?
Huh?
All right.
Are we just using old term phrases? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Back
That's right. Oh, you talked, and I wanted to mention it just because, speaking of gay things.
Oh, it's because you're 50.
Not gay things. I took my husband to his first football game.
Ew.
At A&M? Oh, wait, no, I saw the pictures.
At Texas A&M.
Oh, my gosh. And did he hear all the yelling?
He did.
Did he see the yell leaders?
Everyone's being very yelly. We had good seats, courtesy of a friend. Thank you, friend. You know, if you're going to go to a football game, like, I will say this is a unique experience.
Really?
Unlike going to, like, a pro game
yeah.
or some other – I mean, I'm sure other college games are exciting, but there's just the fan energy is just – everyone's chanting. It's like being a Catholic. You know, everything's in unison. You have to know the rituals are there.
It's
you have to know when
cult-y.
To sit and stand.
Did you guys go to Midnight Yell?
We did not. And so, but he was not having any of it.
Literally.
That gay man was not having any of it. I will never take that gay man to a football game again because he did not enjoy it. Not even a little bit.
But you guys didn't have to stand. At least you got to sit, right?
Yeah, we sat.
The students stand the entire time.
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah,
why?
In the hot
that's
sun.
Why they have chairs.
It's the tradition.
Part of the cult.
Oh, no.
And that's why I was telling the girls. It's like
so long.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 4 or 5 hours.
One of the initiators, one of the carriers of the torch of the cult, one of the people who perpetuated the cult is standing right or sitting right next to you.
Oh, me?
Oh, yay!
Am I the drama?
They call it fish camp.
I was in fish camp. Also, I was in traditions council as well.
Oh,
so I was the one who would tell other people about all of the history of tradition. So those are still ingrained in me because I had to have them memorized and I couldn't read them out of a binder, so I had to tell a lot of people. And we had to have... 2 speaking engagements a month. Was it a month? It was a month. I think it was a month. Where I had to go and tell other people about the traditions as well. So I had all of those for 4 years, bitches. 4 years.
Well, thank goodness there's a place like Tony's Place to help LGBTQ plus youth.
I was like,
okay. When LGBTQ plus youth in Houston are in need and have few other places to go, Tony's Place is there to help. The Greater Houston LGBTQ Chamber of Commerce Foundation is so excited to name Tony's Place as the beneficiary of this year's Chamber Foundation Holiday Food and Supply Drive. The Chamber's Foundation's Holiday and Food Drive is one of the most popular events of the year, so be sure to support the Chamber Foundation, Tony's Place, and the LGBTQ plus youth. There will be a collection of food and supplies, so save the date. And you can find the supply list or make a monetary donation at HoustonLGBTQChamberFoundation.org/2023HolidaySupplyDrive. The event is on Thursday, November 30th, 2023. And if you're in Houston, you can stop by Eureka Heights Brewery in the Heights area to drop off your donation. Again, you can make a monetary donation online. Donate today and change lives forever. Again, that's HoustonLGBTQChamberFoundation.org/2023HolidaySupplyDrive.
Yeah,
holiday.
That's neat. I'm looking at that.
Holiday.
I'm gonna try.
Dun, 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 dun. That's my.
You feel the rush?
Yeah. Come on.
Feel the rush.
Feel the rush.
You feel the rush? I do love
Troy
it.
You feel the rush?
It hits on you. It rubs on you. Wears on you.
Grows.
Is that the term?
It's a grower, not
a
shower.
Well, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
It rushes through you.
It does.
Say.
Oh.
It pulses.
It opens up your.
Yikes. Well, hello.
What do you think of something?
What are you talking about?
Pull up to the
bar.
We're talking about Troye Sivan.
Come
on, whippersnapper.
Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about Troye Sivan.
You sound like a teacher now. Okay, everybody, today.
Class, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And
God, you say that.
Your tracking teacher in 3, 2, 1. Okay, so we're
talking about tracking teacher. What do you have, like, little kids, like...
Okay, waterfall.
Shh. Bad idea.
Thank you, okay.
I can't do those. I am pretty...
You are pretty.
First grade, thank you. First grade for 15 years. I'm pretty cutesy and everything, but some of those things are cringe even for me. The waterfall I will do. I do not do the eyes on me. Because I don't like the kids yelling back at me. It seems very, very, all hail the leader.
I like to tell the girls, put the birds in the nest when we're at the store. Birds in your nest.
There are many things that I, because I did walk away from the whole yelling at me thing because the third graders literally just started to scream at me. I don't know how else to say that. Full ash was screaming, and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work for me. I don't like that. So instead, I just started counting down, and sometimes I do it silently.
Don't do it like that.
Four.
Whoa, so did you do the wrong way?
Wow.
How did you do that?
I work at an auditory impaired.
my finger doesn't move like that. Because then when I move this one moves. I can't do that.
For the visual medium that we're in.
Look at it go.
Okay, you have your own problem.
You just wave that hand out forward like.
My shoulders hurt. I can't.
That's like when people do 3 like this.
You could do it like that.
Do it.
Well, I have to do it like, because we work in an auditory impaired school.
All hell.
And so they talk.
That's what
you... Wait, you...
Is that sign language for 4?
That's
racist. Not in the year of the Barbie movie.
Is that sign language for 4?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't speak it. What's wrong with my tendon or something? Why does it not work?
Oh, that's the rickets.
No, it's not the rickets.
I'm going to have to use 2 hands to do it. I have to use 2 hands to do it.
That confirms it. It's definitely Ricky.
Okay, 4, 3. I could do 3. I could do 2. And I can do... Is this 1?
Yeah, 1.
This thumbs up.
That's Gigamax.
No.
Why turn it sideways?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it like...
Don't ask me.
Like
I don't teach any auditory students. I just do it. Anyways.
Troye Sivan.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Troye Sivan... You guys might have been hearing about him around the water coolers when you talk to your fellow youth.
I do.
Co-workers. Or, you know, you
children.
Just hear children talk about him because he's young.
Children. You said the other cringe, and I've got 2 kiddos that are trying to use words like cringe and sus and touch grass, and they totally they use it wrong.
What's grass?
They're like,
touch grass means to shut the fuck up and go away.
Shut up.
They're like, get off your little screen.
Grass.
Stop living in the Twitter sphere or the Instagram world and commenting and actually go outside and breathe some fresh air and talk
to
real people.
Kind of the idea, yes. But the idea is like, shut the fuck up and go touch grass.
Yep.
Like, leave me alone and go touch grass.
But they keep using it wrong. So like the kids were like, oh, I slam dunk on you. Touch grass. I'm like, oh, no, I don't think that's how that works.
Just finished my homework. That sucks.
No, for real.
So
like, that
sweet.
Sucks. They're like, oh, that's like that's so cringe. And it's like, no, cringe. That's not what cringe means. Cringe does not mean sweet. Yeah, cringe, bro. And I'm like, that's not it.
That's
just
sweet.
Cringing with my bro means.
Yeah. Cringing. I don't think so.
Big Slay Queen.
Right, I'm sorry, but I just had to say that.
No, I understand.
Because the youths.
Mm-hmm. Youth people. So, he just released an album, and that is why I was like, perfect time for a topic. So, wrong time to get a Starburst. I'm so
he's
sorry.
He's eating a Starburst.
I was embarrassed. With a lot of...
How was
that
your trick-or-treating? Was it fun?
You know, we did not have as many as we normally do.
What'd you dress up
last
for
year,
Halloween?
Well, I didn't. Well, for school, I dressed up as a taco.
Because it was Tuesday.
Wait, Taco Tuesday. They allow you to wear your...
We did not. My school, and I don't know why, did it on the Friday before, at the end of Red Ribbon Week. Mm. So it was like, don't do drugs, but dress up on Friday.
But go get drugs that are put into your candy.
Yeah. And razors.
It's razors.
So, razors. So we didn't get to dress up on Tuesday, which is really a bummer. But... So I dressed up as a taco. Hmm. But then when we handed out candy canes.
Not
when
the season.
When we handed out candy, we just wore witch hats. But we only had like 40 or so trick-or-treaters.
That's a lot.
No, last year we had like over 100.
When you hand out candy, do you sip the vino?
I didn't this year, but...
Is it because you're
Christian? We were texting some family members that were out and about. Do you know one of the new things now?
To walk around our neighborhood?
No. Give out like Jello shots for the parents.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Everybody knew that, but me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, shit, I didn't know that.
Did you give out Jello shots to the parents?
No, because I didn't know it was a thing. So Ben and I talked next year. We might be doing Jello shots, but also like maybe pizza and like hot dogs. Oh. Like set out some food, some little, you know.
But were you outside?
Outside, yes.
Ew,
very
gross. You might get friends that way.
Yeah, I don't want people to stand to me. Like, I want to shut the door and tell them
go away.
Well, we have to stay outside because, like, the way the house is, there's, like, a gate that goes into the house. Like, you have to go through a gate before you get into, like, the inner house. It's like a compound it built. It's like, there's like
a moat.
We have to put down the drawbridge. We have to reel in the dragon. No, there's like a gate.
See, so always plays the part of the princess.
That's what I'm doing. That's why the window looks down.
Oh.
That's why he couldn't drink this year. He's trying to fit in his princess outfit.
So you have to get to the gate. So like you can get to the front door. So we went out there. And so we always sit on in the driveway. So
that's fun.
It was
fun.
I like it. It's fun.
That's
so
cute.
You didn't drink wine.
No.
White Claw?
No.
Whiskey?
Mm-hmm. I hated it too. It was too cold to drink my wine out there.
So what'd you drink?
But then it chills your wine while your hand.
How did you give
up.
Out candy if you didn't have a drink in your hand?
I get a little too nervous, so I make Ben do most of it. I'm just always like,
you get nervous around children?
Well, like with the people coming,
the teacher.
I'm just piecing things together.
It gives me a little bit of social anxiety. So when they come up, I'm like, no, they come up and they're all like trick or treat, and I'm all like trick or treat, and like.
You don't say it back to them.
Well, I know you don't, so that's... I've said it a couple times backwards.
That's why you don't
back to them.
And then you're like, oh, no, stop. I don't...
No,
why am I like...
No, but we have our little bags that we give out. We have little bags.
You give a whole bag?
You make bags. I was looking at the
we
girls'
did.
Bags, and I was like, who goes through this trouble to make bags?
We do. We did it. Norm, we were supposed to do it when the kids were over the weekend before, but then I realized Halloween night that we are the night before Halloween that we didn't. So we watched Practical Magic and filled... Halloween bags.
Do you believe
we put it? Like, you know, like a little sticky thing, you know, you throw those sticky things, like glow stick, little tattoos, some candy,
toothbrushes, dental floss,
you know. and then we also
wait, did you give them candy or not?
Yes, it was
okay.
Stickers.
And then we also had because
you list a lot of things
that
weren't candy. I had to double check.
Roll the tape back. I did some candy.
Candy.
And then we did have like full size candy bars. For safe, you know, but like we didn't get to those because there weren't that many people. But you know what? Bags,
wait, I'm sorry, you were giving out the bags before the full size candy bag?
We gave those out first. Because we figured, because typically you get a lot of the younger kids first because it's earlier. And so we had all those funner, smaller things, right? And then like the bigger kids come later. But then like by 8:30, nobody was coming. We're like, it's too cold.
Oh, no, we were at home. Kids in bed by 9 o'clock.
Yeah. So like it was.
And we drove out to go. Yeah, we weren't.
Yeah. Last year. So
8:30.
Now we have a ton of candy.
We were in bed by 10:30.
I think I was in bed by 9.
It's beautiful.
You're always in bed by 9.
Yeah, because he works out. I work out.
I don't get up in the morning anymore. I've given that up.
Oh, so you're not working out, but you are carb loading.
No, I work out in the afternoon.
That's a good math. Just saying.
Aren't you too tired to
go? I don't teach math. Oh, yeah.
Aren't you too tired to go work out in the afternoon?
No.
You've been working all day. You got to go work more.
That's a good way to de-stress.
That's exactly right. I'm normally pinned up with the anger of these children.
I think that worked. No one heard
and
the
so I,
rapper.
Not
that rapper.
Yeah, so then I'm like, I need to...
Is Troye Sivan a rapper?
Yes. So Troye Sivan, being a rapper, he's not a rapper.
He's a candy, he's a twink, he's a twinkie rapper.
He's a little tiny twink. He was born in June of 1990. 1995.
17 minutes into this topic. He was born.
He was born. He's alive. He's Australian, but was born in South Africa. I'm like, okay, this is a lot. So his mom was a South African fashion model, and his dad was an entrepreneur, ooh, real estate agent.
Hello.
I'm like, oh, you guys have money. So when he was 2, they moved to Perth. Yeah. So they're Jewish. That was interesting. And the Orthodox Jewish. So he does not consider himself to be religious. But his father was born to a Jewish family of Lithuanian Jewish descent, ooh, and his mother converted to Judaism. He attended a private modern Orthodox school, which I think is kind of really funny. I don't know, it just seems off. Because, like, Orthodox is...
Yes,
like,
that's very, very specific.
Yeah.
Niche.
It's a very niche situation.
Niche.
Oh,
niche.
Wow. Niche.
Niche. Niche. I don't know.
I teach language. He doesn't. So... he went there until he was... yes. So, until he didn't. 2009.
he was there until he wasn't. And then he did something else.
He stopped going here. Yeah. So he started his musical career. When he sang on a telethon in Perth. There was a 2006 telethon, a 2007 telethon, and a 2008 telethon.
Damn.
On Channel 7 Perth Telethon Television. I'm like, oh my god, what
they have
the
a
fuck?
Whole channel for telethon?
I guess so. I don't know.
That's cool.
So his 2006 performance included a duet with Australian Idol winner Guy Sebastian, which was like, oh, okay. Savan also competed in Star
Wait,
Search.
Is Guy Sebastian a thing?
I don't know. It sounds like a cool name.
Like, I was like, oh.
Well, he won Australian Idol.
Guy Sebastian?
Like Kelly
is he someone?
He won Australian Idol.
Like, do we know him other than when
no,
you just
no,
mentioned?
I don't.
But
I
just did a duet with him. Here, let me
okay.
look and see if he's hot.
No,
I mean, if he's...
I was just like, y'all both were like, oh, Guy Sebastian. I was like,
well,
wait.
I was just thinking because, like, Kelly Clarkson.
No, he
yeah.
actually
oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Is kind of unfortunate looking, but he is... he's there.
Okay,
he rose to fame after winning the first Australian Idol. That's all I got. Anyways, so short Savan. This is going really well for me.
He's not ugly. Anyway.
But he's not cute.
Oh, sorry.
God. Look at those eyeballs.
Shit. Okay.
He's staring at you. He's got a weird smile. It looks like a frog.
Poor Troy. We'll
get
to you eventually.
No,
I'm saying we'll get to you eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Just hang on, bud.
So he made it to the finals of Star Search in 2007. And so then he released
Star Search too.
Oh my god. So he released his debut EP, because apparently you can have multiple of those.
Yes, I can't believe you didn't know that.
I did not know that. And it was called Dare to Dream. It was released in June of 2007. Mind you, he's 12. At this point?
95.
Mm-hmm.
2007, yeah.
He's 12. So in February of 2010, he opened the We Are the World 25 for Haiti YouTube edition, which I think is hilarious. Which there's going to, in just a minute, I'm going to start saying a lot of, like, titles of these, like, different shows that he performed at. I just think that they're absolutely hilarious, so just prepare yourself for them. And that was for raising money for the Haiti earthquake in 2010. June of 2013, he signed with EMI Australia, which is a Universal Music Australian label, essentially. But he kept it a secret for that time until he released his next five-song EP in 2014. So he kept it a complete secret that he had signed with anyone for a year before he was like, actually have some music. Right?
Damn.
His EP was titled Trixie, but T-R-X-Y-E.
Okay.
Interesting.
Trixie Mattel.
Yeah.
Never.
She could never. And it was led by his first single, Happy Little Pill, which was released on July 25th of 2014. His whole EP debuted at number one on iTunes in over 55 countries. And the EP debuted at number 5 on the Billboard 200 the following week, scoring his first top 10 album. Happy Little Pill, the song, peaked at number 10 on some random charts, not the Billboard.
Was this the rebuttal to Jagged Little Pill?
I don't know.
It's like rain.
Maybe.
Was that the same album? I don't know.
I don't know. But
wedding day.
He released Happy Little Pill, so instead of being jagged, it's now happy.
He's happy. That's what you can do when you're that young.
Yeah. So then he released his second major EP, which I was like to say, you released a non-major EP and then two major EPs. So now we have three EPs, but only two of them are major label.
Yep.
This is music industry math.
Okay.
I can't do music
industry math. There we go.
It was titled Wild. Yeah, I'm trying. It was titled Wild. It was released in September of 2015. It was supported by a music video trilogy titled Blue Neighborhood. So Wild was the EP. Blue Neighborhood is the music video trilogy that was from this EP. But Blue Neighborhood, we're going to talk about as well later on. So remember that. Remember. You don't get that references from Lion King.
Nope.
Anyways. So it comprised of three songs. The Blue Neighborhood.
I was 25 years
music,
old when
yeah.
it came out.
I think it was like three.
Oh, yep, that math tracks.
When did it come out?
We weren't 25. We were like 12.
You were,
and he was making music, and there I am.
Yeah, what were you doing at
4?
Yeah, what were you doing when you were 12? Why didn't you have a career?
Kid eating candy and reading books.
You're still doing it now.
Pretty much. I haven't made much progress in
now
30
with,
years.
Now with wine.
Nothing has changed.
That's only funny because we have all this Halloween candy out. Dusty.
I have two pieces. They're just all sitting in front of me.
Dusty is
mocking me.
Sitting next to the candy.
That was one.
Lifesaver gummy. It's going to save your life.
Right.
Anyway, so Troy, he released some music and released some music videos and stuff. So additionally, the EP served as an introduction to his debut. I had a student the other day say debut. Debut. I'm like, his debut studio album.
Ariana DeBose, that's her name.
Who?
Okay, sorry. It's from earlier. Just popped in my head.
Angela Bassett did the
thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, sorry. Additionally, the EP
debut.
Served as an introduction to his debut studio album, Blue Neighborhood, which was released on December 4th of 2015. The single
20 years old.
Yeah.
Damn.
The single Youth reached number 23 on the Billboard's Hot 100. I don't know if you heard that song, but I actually really like that song.
It sounds familiar.
Youth was a good song to me. I enjoyed it, so listen to it, enjoy it as well. Youth supported Blue Neighborhood and Wild with his first tour, which was called the 2015's Choice Yvonne Live. He further continued to support his new album, Blue Neighborhood, with 2016's Blue Neighborhood Tour and Suburbia Tour. And then on May 26th of 2017, he collaborated with Martin Garrix, which is a DJ person, to produce the song There For You.
I'll be there for you. These five words out. Not that one.
Not that one, but it's also a pretty decent song as well. So then in... Oh my God, I got the hiccups.
Oh, it is good. Yes, another one.
So, 2018, January 2018.
It's a Christian song.
He released the single My, 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 which I also kind of enjoy that one. I enjoy Troye Sivan's.
My, My, My. Not that one.
No, that's Bye, Bye, Bye.
Sorry.
Oh.
You try.
Everything ties back to Britney.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Which also had an accompanying music video. This song was confirming, I'm sorry, he had confirmed that the second album that he was releasing, that was coming out in 2018, was inspired by his then-boyfriend, an American model, Jacob Bixenman. I looked up Jason Bixenman, and I was not impressed, to be honest. I'm like, model!
He looks like the Australian.
No, Australian guy was cuter. Which...
Oh, that's saying a lot. Because you hated him.
Yeah. So the song was described as a departure from his earlier work, with Pitchfork calling his vocals assured, and the NPR Music describing it as an infectious celebration of sexual desire.
Can you give us more of your NPR, like...
Oh, you want me to try?
Yeah, give us your NPR voice.
NPR also noted the significance of the song and music video displaying confidence in Sivan's sexuality, writing, "It's not every day you see a young, skinny, queer kid get to be completely himself in a music video, and Sivan makes us want to dance along with him."
Oh, you got your NPR voice, Dustin?
That is Chris. No,
I don't on NPR. Know what
Sivan makes you want to dance with him. No, I think you win.
Oh my god, I won something. Did I win the gay games?
What was his name? Jason Bix.
Yes.
What?
Jason Bixenman.
Bixen.
Bixenman.
First of all,
Jason,
that's not a model
Jason?
Name.
No, it was Brian. Was it Brian? Was it Jason?
What was
it?
Model. Was he a model for JCPenney?
He was a model. He's American model.
For Jason
apparently
Penny.
Troy's then
Bourbons.
Boyfriend. Ford.
Wieners.
We.
No, you don't know. You
Ralph,
know
he look, Ralph Lauren. He looks
Montgomery
like a
Ward.
Model.
Well, I don't know. No, I want to see.
Gucci. What is it?
Okay.
He looks like your... Like that like, genre. It's just very, like, there's no distinctive pictures.
Yeah.
Features,
I'm not trying hard to be beautiful.
Yeah,
I just kind of have a natural...
Just is.
About me. Okay. We'll give it that. Not Troye Sivan, though.
Not Troye Sivan. So
Troye Sivan would never... Actually, Troye Sivan did.
He had his first live performance of his song, My, 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 was in January of 2018. Yeah, same day, same month that it was released. Because he was a musical guest on Saturday Night Live on the episode that was hosted by Jessica Chastain.
Oh.
You get to make the Jessica Chastain?
Oh.
Are you in love with her now? He later confirmed that his new album was going to feature collaboration with none other than his longtime friend Ariana Grande to a song called Dance to This, which also is a great song that I enjoy very much as
That's
well.
That's when he first came into
your radar.
Mm-hmm.
See, Youth came into my radar,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of the songs kept on coming on, and I was like, okay, I like this little queer person. So then he released a song called Strawberries and Cigarettes. From the Love, Simon soundtrack, when that movie was released as well. That was still summer of 2018. It received a nomination for the 2018 Satellite Awards for Best Original Song. And then Bloom was released as the third single from his, followed by The Good Side, which I also love that song too, in May of 2018. That month, he announced a second studio album, which I'm like, this math doesn't make sense. I can't. Blue Neighborhood was his three video from his EP that then became the title of his next, of his first actual album. And now, and then he went on three tours for that album. And now he's releasing this math is too much. I can't, this is too much.
Math.
It's too much. So he actually opened for Taylor Swift, some of her concerts, during her Reputation tour, which I think put him on the radar for the Swifties big time. So,
you're basically endorsed by her, which means...
Can you imagine?
I know, right?
She calls
you
up. You
automatically get, like...
Hey, I'm getting this random phone call. Who is this? Hello?
It's Taylor Swift.
Hi, my name is Taylor Swift. Okay, bitch, shut the fuck up.
Will you do my name, Dusty?
They call again. No, I'm serious. It really is Taylor Swift. Okay. Tell me Taylor Swift. Whatever. Anyways, so...
thanks for that, Ben,
I'm just kidding.
A little good commercial.
A little extra there. So the album was officially released in August of 2018, and his album's final pre-release track, Animal, was released on August 9th, so just before the album was released. That same year, he received a Golden Globe for his... received a Golden Globe nomination for the Best Original Song for Revelation, which he recorded and co-wrote for the film Boy Erased. It was also shortlisted for an Academy Award for the song, and in October of 2018, he collaborated with Charlie XCX for the single 1999. So then the two performed the single live on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and then they had a sequel collaboration titled 2099. which debuted in June of 2019. And the two artists performed this at a LA Pride event called Go West Fest, which this sounds so gay. And they released it as a promotional single from Charlie XCX's album Charlie on September 10th of 19. Charlie bit me. Oh no. That's an old millennial.
Okay, comedy. Boomer.
Oh, I know. I don't think I should do a whippersnapper anymore. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. Don't worry, your papers are.
Are you requesting my medical files again?
Yes.
In January of 2022.
Yeah.
Savon released a single, I'm So Tired, with American singer-songwriter Laube. Then April of 2020, he released Take Yourself Home, which was his first single from his fifth EP titled In a Dream. He worked with freelance artists in the need of work during the COVID-19 pandemic to create the visual art for his single. The artist who Savon met on Instagram also designed t-shirts for the single, and all net proceeds were donated to The Who and Spotify's COVID-19 music relief project as well.
Yeah.
So he's a charity queen as well. Look at her.
Love it.
Serving.
When are you getting get to the Kacey Musgraves?
I'm gonna come back.
Okay.
So July 15th, Savon released the single Easy.
Oh, hello.
And announced the release of the concept EP In a Dream. The EP was released on August of 2020. So Kacey Musgraves also collaborated with him on the song Easy as well. And that song is also really great too.
It is very good.
So June 2021, he performed songs from the EP for Grubhub's virtual concert series titled Soundbites.
Come on, Grubhub.
Oh, that's a cute name for come on. I love a good
But also arts. Grubhub having a visual concert series, it confuses me.
Hey, you know what? We're going to give props to Grubhub because while they're not a sponsor for this podcast, they do support LGBTQ businesses. They, with the chamber, we gave out like 15 checks, big fucking check. Okay, there were like $5,000 to $10,000 checks to these restaurants.
I didn't say it was
LGBTQ owned and allied businesses. Grubhub given money. Come on, Grubhub.
Good for her. Slay. Ooh.
Soundbites.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So this Soundbites was in support of efforts that were assisting LGBT-owned restaurants during the COVID-19 pandemic. So look at Troye Sivan. He performed songs for that.
Oh.
So look at her. So April 2021, his collaboration You with Regard and Tate McRae was released. The song topped Billboard's Dance Electronic Songs chart for 8 weeks. I was like, okay. His single Angel Baby was released on September 10th of that same year. And then he became viral in Southeast Asia. The song reached...
Oh. I was like, oh.
During the pandemic.
COVID. I was like, oh no.
It reached the top five in several countries in Southeast Asia. So I'm like, okay, slay. Southeast Asia. So February of 2022, he had two original songs that he'd written for the film titled 3 Months that he had released. December, he also released a collaboration with PNAU, I don't know how they say it, titled
What?
You Know What I Need. He announced his third studio album, Something to Give Each Other, on July 2023.
It was not viral.
Alongside the release of his lead single Rush, which also that one gets the people going. So in September, the second single, Got Me Started, was released with an accompanying music video. The album was released on October 13th of 2023, along with the third single, One of Your Girls. Have you seen that video?
I have not seen that one.
He is dressed as a woman.
Oh.
And a very beautiful woman at that. And I'm like,
pronouns are
she, her, slay.
There we go.
Yeah,
I'm looking it up.
Very interesting.
All right.
So his music videos frequently feature gay relationships between the characters. Blue Neighborhood's trilogy followed a narrative of two gay teenagers. In it,
wow.
I'm telling you, you could not clock. You could not.
I would not.
Is that what the ladies call
you
fish?
You could not believe. Fish. Serving fish. Landed fresh to lobby.
Very, very 90s
fresh
model.
I love that.
Uh-huh. Stunning. Sonosha. Beautiful woman.
What is my...
Did your bisexuality jump out?
Like, who am I?
Yeah.
Am I having a crisis right now?
If there was a twink woman, that's that.
That woman.
A twink woman.
A twink.
Do those exist?
I don't know.
They're called models.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Men can do that? Okay.
So anyways, his music video
trilogy
of two gay teenagers in a secret relationship, while the music video for Youth featured Savon with another male love interest. So he's always been making everything very, very gay.
Yeah.
His music video for Heaven features footage of historical LGBTQ movements and couples, as well as sensual shots with him and an anonymous man with the running taglines, "Without losing a piece of me, how do I get to heaven? And if I'm losing a piece of me, maybe I don't want heaven."
Because heaven ain't in a place like this.
Oh, is that your karaoke song?
I mean, I've heard it a time or two.
I've been known to dabble. The singer says these portrayals are important to him, especially when he considers his young life, when he remembers such vivid memories and the few times I saw any type of LGBTQ relationship on TV or in music videos. Which I was like, damn, talk about it, girl. So he releases and self-directed his music video for a second song, Easy, from his EP, In a Dream. The remix of Easy was featuring country singer-songwriter Casey Musgraves and producer Mark Ronson, which was released alongside a second music video in December of 2020. He also is an actor. He portrayed the younger X-Men in X-Men younger Wolverine in X-Men Origin.
Which one?
All of them.
All of that, the range.
Can you believe
it? All comes back to Selma Hayek.
You could not believe. It really does. All roads lead to Selma Hayek. We do talk about both of them a lot. He portrayed the younger Wolverine in X-Men Origins Wolverine in 2009. And then he also starred as the titular character. I love that.
Again, with Selma Hayek.
The Spud film trilogy. So 2010 to 2014.
Is it about potatoes or something?
I have no idea. But I just know that he acted in it. And so I had to tell you that he's an actor.
Okay.
He's also the youngest recipient of the GLAAD Stephen F. Kolzak Award. Good for her. He received a Golden Globe nomination in 2018 for Best Original Song for Revelation from the Boy Erased film.
He was also in that one.
In Boy Erased.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
I know.
In which he also had a supporting acting role.
Oh, my gosh.
He had since starred in the film 3 Months in 2022 and the HBO series The Idol. And I think The Idol...
3 Months is what we should call your new podcast because it talks about all your dating relationships.
Girl, that means that I have to date someone for 3 months.
Oh, that's true.
I don't even get that far.
Maybe
one date and
yeah, but you talk to them you talk to them like you text them on Grindr or some your app for like 3 months before you finally go out with them.
Hey,
so
what's your favorite
and you're
role?
Like, oh, we're dating, and it's like, girl, have y'all gone on a date yet? No, but we've been dating for 2 months. And I'm like,
but I haven't ever seen them.
Touch grass, bro.
Honestly,
I just wanted to use that phrase. Sorry, I had to take you through it.
My dating life is sus.
So cringe.
It's really cringe. Anytime that I meet up with someone, I'm like, ooh, cringe. in 2012 was really where he also focused a lot of his efforts on YouTube. So YouTube, as we know, has made many of people famous, and Troye Sivan really garnered a lot of attention through YouTube as well. He used vlogs to really accumulate followers, and he posted his first vlog in 2012 and got 27,000 subscribers with the first video.
Doing what?
Singing.
Oh, he was singing. Okay, I was like, I was like, sure. He was like, "Hey, y'all, I want you to subscribe. Here, I'm going to show you color palette number 7."
Yeah, that's good. And that's how he looks so fish.
I live for the vlog, live for the vlog, vlog.
No, okay. Way from your YouTube. No,
we tried.
I went too far. I tried. It was a stretch. Anyways, so. He also made a YouTube video with fellow YouTuber Tyler Oakley, who was a very popular YouTuber as well. And that also got them all a Teen Choice Award for that video alone. I'm like, oh, okay.
Tyler Oakley, a homosexual.
A homosexual, yes.
Homosexual.
I know who he is.
Yeah, you know who he is. Wow. So June of 2022, Sivan had over 8 million YouTube subscribers and over 1.9 billion views across his YouTube videos. So,
that's a lot of views.
Quite popular, if I may say so myself.
You may
Coming from my 7,000 followers on Twitter that I no longer have. So sad. So he actually had come out publicly on a YouTube video in August of 2013, which was 3 years after he had already come out to his family. So he was, 15 when he came out to his family? And so then he came out publicly on YouTube when he was 18. So he stated in that video that he wanted to come out because he did not want his sexuality to be a secret from the major record label that he was about to sign with. Because he was in negotiations with them at the time for a record deal, and he had not yet discussed his sexuality with them. The morning after he posted his coming out video, he received a congratulatory email from them. That is Troye Sivan. So he's just a young gay person that's just out there living his life and singing good gay music and making all the gays happy about it, too. So, unfortunately, not much controversy, so I don't get to yell about things, but... We didn't get to talk about a young, happy guy, gay guy.
Just in the words of Meg Stalter, "Hi, gay."
Hi, gay. Hi, gay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she release a hi, gay video this year?
I don't think so.
Oh, she's a one time thing. Spirit. She did a second one.
Oh, did she?
Yes, she did.
Speaking of second ones, I got nothing. Just kidding. I got nothing.
No segue there?
The only segue is I'd like to say we'd like to thank our sponsor, Economy Works. You need help with marketing? Hire a freelancer. You need help building a website? You can hire a freelancer. If you need help with benchmarking and analysis, I would encourage you, per the Economy Works friends, to hire a freelancer. Economy Works believes in the power of connection and wants to connect you with its talent network. The talent network has over 1,000 years of experience and it's growing in HR, marketing, IT, accounting, and other specialties. Economy Works. When we work, the economy works! You can find out more at economyworks.com. That's economyworks.com.
I love it.
Can I talk to you about a woman...
Please.
Named Kate Brown.
Oh, yes.
Y'all ever heard of her?
No.
Well, she was the first openly LGBTQ+ person to be appointed and elected governor of a U.S. state.
A woman?
A woman.
Oh.
A bisexual.
Ooh.
I was kidding. That joke sounded very misogynistic.
I mean, you are what you eat. Exactly. She was born in Spain on June 21st, 1960. And I want to talk to you again because she was elected this week in LGBTQ+ history as governor. But, you know, a little known fact. So this was in 2016. In 2015, she became the governor through a bit of a scandal in which she landed into the governor role there in Oregon. She was born. She was born in Spain on June 21st, 1960. Why was she in Spain? Her father was in the Air Force and was a doctor serving over there in
serving.
Atlanta. Hello. She's serving.
Face.
España. España. Tapas. I don't know. I got nothing.
Tapas. España. Siesta.
Paella.
Very good.
There we go. We did it. She grew up in Minnesota. And then when she was done with all that, she went to undergraduate school. Undergraduate school? She went to college. Got her undergraduate degree.
Undergraduate school.
something like that. The University of Colorado Boulder, and then from there she got a law degree at Lewis and Clark's Northwestern School of Law, and she also got a certificate in environmental law. She did not intend to be a lawyer; like she was studied law, but she was like, "I'm going to go save the world." So she started out in a nonprofit. A proud feminist, but she said she was laid off on her first day of in her new job in nonprofit. She was like, "Oh, we're gonna go, you know, save the world, nonprofit," and then she got laid off because there was no funding. So needed to find the bills.
I was like, "Wow, she took a
not a good day."
She needed to pay the bills, and so she went and decided to become a lawyer. Like she, even though she went to law school, I don't think she was intending to like go be a lawyer in like court.
In the courtroom,
yeah, there. She was like, "Let's go study the law
use
so
the
we can,
law to use it. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
to do good work.
Use the law against itself."
But in the end, she went to go be a lawyer, practice family and juvenile law, and she said that you know, when she was looking for a job, she got all sort. Like she was, I think, energized to like. Fight the man, if you will. She said at one point she got asked a question about, you know, I guess she was previously married. She said she got married before she was in law school and then got divorced during law school. And so a potential employer, a lawyer, was like, how can you be a good lawyer if you've been divorced? And she was like, whoa, I knew I wanted to do something. So she, again, she started practicing law and, family law and juvenile law. In addition to being a cool lawyer, a good lawyer, she's a yoga enthusiast, a cyclist, does tandem bike rides. She has a husband that she's married to now, and they do bike rides. This is Oregon, so you would think, like, how many tandem bike riders are you going to see in Houston, Texas? Name them. Go ahead.
I think I saw one time, and I thought it was like seeing a dog walking its hind leg. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, you don't see that. But I feel like in Oregon, Portland is where she was living when she was finding her adulthood. She's married to a man, an outdoorsman named Dan Little, and they have two stepchildren. But again, she's a bisexual.
She rode a bike.
That's how it started. A bike sexual.
She's bisexual.
She, that's why she does the tandem bike.
Two seats. Yeah.
Got it? Because it goes, well, that she can be in the front or the back.
This is called evolution.
I love it.
In 1991, she was appointed to the State House of Representatives there in Oregon. And then the following year, she was actually elected. She won an election to be in the State House there in Oregon. She won by 7 votes. And then she
only
was
seven?
Only seven. Was reelected in 1994. And then in 1996, she was elected into the State Senate there in Oregon and then was reelected in 2020 in 2004. So 17 years roughly. She was serving in the state legislature there in then Oregon. In 2004, she was elected this Senate Majority Leader there in Oregon, won that election with 87% of the vote. During her time in the state legislature, she supported ethics law overhaul. She was a bipartisan politician. Imagine that. It's like a bad word now.
Yeah.
But pass laws related to
being a bipartisan.
Bisexual and bipartisan.
So she's bi.
Bicycle,
really? Bipartisan, bi.
You see,
sexual is bi. Bi.
Another bi. Mm-hmm. Another bi.
Everyone's bi.
Yes. her focus was some of the like notable legislation that she passed was on campaign contributions and making sure there was transparency. And so she was part of a group that of legislatures that passed a law to create an online database for reporting campaign contributions. In 2008, this is kind of marking her way to the governor role, she was elected Secretary of State, which was kind of the next in line for the governor. So like the governor went down, she was going to step into that role. She won pretty handily, 51% of the vote. She was reelected in 2012 with the same, you know, a majority vote, 51%. And then again elected again in 2012. So in 2015 she becomes governor because the governor at the time, John Kitzhaber, who was a four-time elected governor, he got caught up in some ethics investigation.
Uh-oh.
his wife, girlfriend, was like, like using his influence to prop herself up as a energy consultant, and so that got out, called up in scandal. So he was he resigned, and because she was the Secretary of State, she became the governor and took the oath on February 18th there in 2015. Sweet. At the age of 54. She came in pledging like open government, ethics reform, which is kind of a kick to the last guy. Yeah. And she wanted to restore the public's trust in government. She was different than like the guy she came after, John Kitzhaber, because she was like a people person. He was very much like a let's get things done. And she was very much like, there's interviews describing her like walking down the or stories describing her like she'd walk down the Capitol and just like, oh, hey Chris, how's it going, and you know, you're gonna pass that law, and like pat you on the shoulder and, oh Dusty, what's going on, like you better make sure you go, we got your vote, right? So very much a people person. This like the Oregon legislative body like really wasn't used to that, or state government wasn't used to that type of politician. Very much a liberal, but she described herself as really pragmatic, because she did work with both parties, and she knew that she needed to do that to get things done. She was also kind of very vocal, but also very present. Like she traveled around the state, and you would see her testifying in hearings, like trying to have the discussion about whatever cause that she felt was worthy, like wanted to make sure she was bringing attention to that. In the early part of her governorship in 2015, she had 55% approval rating, and even like their approval rating of some of the high approval from Republicans. During her time as governor, especially in her first term, she was very much focused on LGBTQ rights. She worked to pass a ban on conversion therapy. Although my note says conversation therapy, so there you go.
Honestly, I that's a cause that I'm very vocal about.
Conversation
no
therapy.
More conversation.
We might
therapy.
Have to talk about it.
I would actually prefer not talking.
A podcaster going through conversation therapy.
I don't like to talk.
She extended protections for transgender students or in the Oregon schools, and she even worked to get a third sex field, like a field, sex. So I copied it. Gender
to have sex in,
like on your driver's license and state ID card, you could. Oh, yeah, they had male and female. She wanted a third
field?
One, and she was the first time. Oregon was the first nation in the state to do that. So what? Parking lot. Chris's case, like fields could be parking lots against his car.
Under a truck before. So.
And then the point of us talking killer. About her is because in 2016,
my cars.
She ran for. It was a special election. To complete the term that she was serving under the guy who resigned. And she won the special election to complete her term through 2019. She won with the 51% of the vote. Again, a very popular governor. And at the time, folks saw her as like, she was, when she did this, right, she was the first openly LGBTQ plus governor elected again in the country. Like there had never been a governor. We've talked about Jared Polis, who was Colorado, has become Colorado governor, but she was the first. She was the one to do it all. She was the Angela Bassett. She did the thing.
She did the thing.
Yes.
Ariana DeBose.
Yeah. And then in 2018, she was reelected again.
Oh my God, she's still serving.
Yes, and so she was governor until earlier this year, 2023, when her term ended. Her final term, though, you think about, you know, she was elected in 2018.
That's a long time.
But her term was 2019 to 2023. So you think about all the shit that happened. If you remember, Oregon was making a lot of headlines during the pandemic, less so for the pandemic.
But although those, she made some random headlines. Farmers that were
Well, that too, and there was a lot of like, there were a lot of riots after the George Floyd murder in Oregon, and you know, there was this the whole thing like that the you know the Fox Newsers are like the Antifa, like that's based out of like some of the activity that was happening in Portland. So you think about coronavirus, you think about the violent the protesting rather that was going on, and this was really like. That those protests and Donald Trump like deployed troops into Oregon during that time because he was trying to protect you know federal buildings he said but really he was encouraging or
more riots
yeah riots because he was advocating for those federal troops to really be hard ass on the protesters right he was encouraging them to take force and if they were going to destroy a building he was like well there's going to be consequences so yeah the Proud Boys and the Patriot prayer groups who also stormed the Oregon State Capitol in 2020. They were shouting arrest Kate Brown because they didn't like what she was doing with the pandemic. She had ordered you know, like a lot of liberal governors like ordered shutdowns and mask mandates. And so a lot of people who were not on that end of the political spectrum were very pissed off with her to a very much a polarizing figure. You know, it's interesting because she got the reputation for being like, oh, mask mandates and stay-at-home mandates. But initially, she got some criticism because she was slow to react in terms of ordering a stay-at-home order. Because she was like, at first she encouraged people to stay at home, which is not the same as like, if you don't stay home, you're going to get arrested. So she got some pushback. But then again, she was one of the ones that was kind of the out there saying, once you put that order out there that you need to stay at home and you need to wear a mask, like, then she got a lot of flack for that. She also got a lot of flack during COVID because of vaccines. She actually advocated that daycare, preschool, and K through 9 employees should get the vaccine first over the age 60, you know, the citizens over age 65, which most folks were giving. Like in Texas, it was like the people age 65 and over were first in line. She was saying, no, daycare, preschool, K through 12 teachers. So you guys would have gotten the vaccine first. Aww, so you wouldn't have, like, had you do it in Texas and lie about it.
It's still going to be for all their old people.
She said they were very difficult decisions, but I mean, she was like, we were operating without a playbook. For all the flack she got with COVID, Oregon was the state with the eighth lowest death rate. And even one of the lower death rates of, you know, in the U.S., despite like not spending inordinate amount of money on COVID relief. So, I mean, she gets like now with 2023 lenses, she's getting, you know, she got fairly okay marks. She focused on crime during her tenure, but it was also controversial because she spent a lot of money, but it wasn't clear in terms of what did it actually do anything because you saw, you know, increase in the drug crisis, homelessness. You know, again, I mentioned the crime stuff. Education folks weren't like they saw a little bit of like regression in terms of student performance. Voters' rights. I mean, I would advocate that she, you know, did well in that space, but she passed the country's first automatic voter registration law because she was very much trying to support. You know, she knew that minorities struggle to get and other people would struggle to register to vote and then actually go vote. So she was very much like, let's just automatically register you to vote. And then children, again, she was fully funding the school system there, first time in 30 years, but that got a lot of controversy because it's like, well, okay, you're spending all this money, but what's really happening with the kids? She takes a lot of pride, though, in terms of her stance on climate change. She passed an executive order basically saying fossil fuel suppliers, they have to reduce their climate warming pollution by 50% by 2035 and then 90% by 2050. So very much an aggressive stance on that. She also got some made some headlines in 2022 because she commuted 17 death row inmates. Sentences. These were all these 17 death row inmates. They were all convicted when they were juveniles, and so she's like, "Look, like killing them is not the answer. Like, let's give them let's rethink
give
their
the opportunities."
Well, I mean, so she commuted their sentence from death row to like life in prison, but she was like, killing them is not, the state killing them is not the solution to this. She's like, I've long believed that justice is not advanced by taking a life, and that the state should not be in the business of executing people, even if a terrible crime placed them in prison. Of course, the other end of the political spectrum is like, you killed someone, eye for an eye, that sort of stuff. So Republicans
also,
said,
across the board, there are so many different cases where it's not completely proven to
yeah.
deal with. So
yeah. She also commuted over 1,000 inmates during the pandemic. Some of them were at health risk. Some of them helped during the wildfires that happened in Oregon at the time. 73 were convicted of murder, rape, and assault, manslaughter. Again, most of those were kids when they were under the age of 18. What she cited at, you know, while she was governor, some of her greatest successes is that she diversified the judicial system in Oregon. She, of her appointments, nominated or appointed 27 people of color out of 112 people, 56 women and 8 LGBTQ plus people. So she was very much advancing diversity at the courts. She appointed the first Asian Pacific American and Black justice to the Oregon State Supreme Court. She left though as the governor as one of the lowest ratings, and one of the lowest. She was 50 of 50. Like, of all the ratings, she was the lowest. And she was term limited, which is why she didn't run again. But the woman who replaced her or who won and succeeded her was Tina Kotek, who was also a lesbian. So, you know, well, although not also, because Kate Brown is not a lesbian. She's bisexual. But nonetheless, she was
LGBT.
Yes. But again, a bisexual, which I think is, you know, yay bis, stop erasing us. In the 1980s, though, she talks about coming out. In the 1980s, she was like, I felt terrified going to work, because she was like, I thought if someone knew that I was, you know, dating a woman, that I was going to lose my job. She said, you know, even in the early 90s, she's like, I didn't even know anyone who identified as bisexual. And what happened is she was outed by the press because she casually mentioned to a reporter one time that she was bisexual. And then a few years later, when the, I think it was the Oregonian newspaper was reporting on the Oregon legislature's like LGBTQ plus caucus, they mentioned her. Hello. Ooh. They mentioned her and she was outed. And so she then had to tell her parents. But one of the things, like, maybe just because it was Oregon, she realized that a lot of people didn't care. Like, her constituents didn't care. Even her conservative colleagues, she said, didn't really care. And that was somewhat evident, too. Like, there was some movement in Oregon in the 90s to pass some anti-gay measures. Like,
anti-gay,
yes. there were, like, it was two voters. Like, the voters, there were some measures on the ballot that were... ordinances that were anti-LGBTQ plus, and the Oregonians ultimately didn't pass those. So, you know, there was a okay climate for her to be an out bisexual in the 90s, even though there weren't a lot of people that were out. And she didn't, after she was added, she didn't really hide it. She participated in pride events. In 2008, she was endorsed by the Victory Fund, which we've talked about, Denise yes. Parker. And so she definitely started to embrace over the years her LGBTQ plus identity. She did come out in an essay for Out and Elected in the USA, which is a compilation of essays from people, out LGBTQ plus politicians. I'll read it quickly. She says, I believe it was during my early 30s that I figured out who or what I am, but it wasn't until I was written in the Oregonian newspaper that I was bisexual that I had to face the inevitable and let those around me know. Thus began my public coming out as bisexual, coming out to my parents, who flew in from Minnesota to have a talk, which she says in quotes. Their response, it would have been much easier for us if you were a lesbian. Coming out to my gay friends who called me half queer, coming out to my straight friends who never thought I could make up my mind about anything anyway, and most frighteningly to me, coming out to my legislative colleagues. At the beginning of the next legislative session, sitting in the House lounge, Representative Bill Markham, who is over 70 years old, extremely conservative, and a legislator for more than 20 years, comes to join me. Over lunch, he looks up to say, "Right on the Oregonian a few months ago, you were bisexual. Guess that means I still have a chance. Some days I feel like I have a foot in both worlds, yet never really belonging to either." Yeah,
cringe. That's cringe.
So, I mean, she came out in 2021. Again, she was still advocating for, I will say, advocating in quotes for bi rights, because, you know, when you're on Twitter or X, you just say things. But Tucker Carlson did a segment, like, you know, what does bisexual even mean? Like, how is she married to a man? He was kind of attacking her. And she said, that's what bisexual means. Like, you can get married to, you can have dated a woman and still get married to a man. Or dated women and be married to a man. Those are my words, not hers. But she says, to every bisexual person out there struggling to explain to your friends and family who you are and who you love, you are not alone. Don't let the bullies stop you from being true to yourself. You might even be governor someday. And that is Angela Bassett doing the thing.
She did it. Wait, Angela Bassett was the governor of Oregon?
Yes.
Oh, well, my bad. I love that we just bring that back.
I say it every day, multiple times a day.
That's cringe.
It's cringe. It is. The other day, honestly, I was like, "Oh, a bunch of Angela Bassett's." I told Spence, and he was like, "What?" I mean, he knows what I say.
But at some point, you just need to go touch grass.
I'm gonna have to do some more research on that.
All right.
Well, if you touch grass, if you got off your computer and actually touch grass, you would know what we meant.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to our podcast and kikiing with us. Especially thank you to the guy who keeps our sound in check, Spencer. He's going to get this episode out so you can hear it, so you can thank him. You can send him all the likes. Y'all. It was fun.
We did it.
It was fun kikiing with y'all.
It's always fun to kiki, guys.
Yes,
and gossip, hot goss.
All the hot goss. Maybe you'll get the hot Ryan Gosling one day.
I'm really hoping one day. That's all I'm saying. If I have a hot listener out there that's like, "Wow, I love the sound of his cringe voice," you come get sushi with me.
Take him to sushi.
The sound of his just nails on a chalkboard voice just really gets me going.
Ryan Gosling?
No, mine.
Oh. I was like, what's Ryan Gosling's voice sound like?
What's love got to do? All right.
No, Tinta Turner. Also, one thing. No,
go ahead. No. Give it to us. Come on.
One thing that my students have been saying is, "Oh, wow, that's big brain."
Big brain. What?
That's big brain. Like, look, that's big brain. Like,
what does that mean?
It's like, that's big brain behavior. Like, it's smart.
Oh, smart.
Like, oh, look at, like, this is why I'm doing big brain here.
No
like,
cap.
Yeah, no cap. Yeah.
What is cap? No cap.
Girl, I don't know. Like, I guess, like, no stopping themselves. I don't know.
No cap means it's true.
No, I thought it means, cap.
Cap, like, I'm not joking.
A lie. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. They're doing big brain, and I'm like, I don't know what that
I've means. Never heard that.
All right. Well, no cap. We're out of here. We're queer. We're here. We're queer. I'll try that again.
We're queer.
We're here.
We're queer.
Yeah, he's doing it.